Hey everyone, it's Matt, and thanks for joining me here on Micah's Call. Today we're going to go deep. It's a topic that touches the core of our faith, but I think it often goes unspoken in our congregations. It's the taboo of our worship. What to do when Jesus fails? How do we maintain our faith when the miracles that we pray for don't materialize? It's about understanding that Jesus isn't worthy of our praise and our worship when things go our way. Jesus doesn't always work out the way we want him to. We're going to talk about that today, when Jesus fails. Man, this isn't an easy podcast to do. This is, again, my point of view of things. And I know that's hard to say. There's a lot of people out there saying, well, Jesus doesn't fail. You're right. He doesn't. He just doesn't always work out the way that we want him to, right? Because it's easy to stand. It's easy to stand in the light, right? And feel the warm sun on our faces and praise the source of that warmth, right? But what happens when we stand in the cold shadows, when health and prosperity and comfort, all these things seem miles and miles away? I'll be honest, I've struggled with this. And when everything was right in my life, my faith was effortless. Worship was a joy. It was easy to worship when things were bad. But what about when things were good? Well, I could worship and I could pray and I could do all these things when things were good, right? But when things were bad, you see? And I realized that pretty early on in life that things weren't always going to work out the way that I wanted them to. In my relationship with God and with Jesus, often turned into a bargaining tool, right? It was in those dark moments of life, though, that I realized this isn't how it should be. So walk with me here. And you hear this analogy a lot of Job. Job was a man of great faith in the Bible, and he was tested beyond anything that we can believe. He lost everything, and yet he fell to the ground in worship, saying, Lord, you gave me these trials. He embraced them. Job also says in Job 1:21, right? The Lord gives and the Lord takes away, but may the name of the Lord be praised. You think of David, the psalmist, who often his psalms start with despair, but end in trust and praise. And I think these two figures, Job and David, they didn't worship conditionally. Their faith was deeply rooted, and it was unwavering in the face of trials. These were men who realized that God didn't fail them, and they still needed to worship. Now, I know this is, I live in the real world, right? Where things don't always go as planned. Things don't go the way that we want them to go, right? It just doesn't happen. Unanswered prayers are, man, they're a challenge. They're tough. And when we pray for healing or for relief or provision, whatever, sometimes it feels like our prayers echo into this vast silence, into this Garden of Gethsemane, right? Even Jesus faced this, right, when he prayed. Jesus said, my Father, if it's possible, take this cup from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will. I think it was Matthew 26:39, he said this. Jesus' ultimate submission to God's will, despite his impeding suffering, underscores the essence of our own faith when it seems like God has failed. So what is worship really? It's not a transaction. It's not a conditional agreement that we engage in with God. Worship is a response to who God is, his love, his sovereignty, his being the creator and sustainer of all life, which is what I believe. We read in Psalm 34:1, I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. This is the call, and I'm not always good at this, and I have never been good at this, but this is the call to worship in all times, even when it's hard. Even when it feels like God is failing. So how do we do this? There's no easy answer to this. There's no easy answer to this question of when it seems like God failed. But in my personal belief, it's about persistence in prayer. And something, again, I'm not always good at. But I think it's nurturing our spiritual lives through reading the scriptures, through the true community of Christ, the true love in people and body of Christ, who can help us through these things without picking up a bunch of rocks and trying to be judgmental and stoning us to death. Because that's the last thing somebody needs in this situation, is to be stoned to death. That's the last thing any of us need. But then it's also about remembering the many, many, many ways, big and small, that God has been faithful to us over time. So we wonder, does God fail? Certainly it seems that way. Certainly it does. We can pray for healing all we want. We can, you know, Lord, I need you. Lord, I love you. All this and that. And it just doesn't come. And that's a reality. I know this challenges prosperity doctrine, but it just doesn't always work this way. And that's real. We can pray for all of these things, but the reality of it is sometimes it just doesn't come the way we need it, the way we want it, the way when we need it. Sometimes people get sick. We pray for healing and they die. It just doesn't always work the way we think it should work. And I think we're all guilty of that. We're all bad at that. And what's the most important thing you can do? It goes back to that. When you see somebody in a situation like this, love them. Care for them. Don't pick up your bag of rocks. Don't sit there and say, well, he's Palestinian or he's Russian or he's Chinese or he's black. He's a Democrat. Who cares? Jesus didn't. So in the end, is it Jesus and God failing? Or is it we as the body of Christ failing? Is the mechanisms that Christ works through, is that us failing? That's a hard call to reckon with. So what happens when our prayers fail? It's tough. It is tough. There's no doubt about it. It is tough. It is absolutely hard when prayers fail. When it seems like God has failed us, it's tough. And it's easy when things are going great. And sometimes we just, I'm the world's worst at it. When we sit there and things are going good in our life, what's the point in worshiping, right? I don't need you today. Where's the humility in that? Where's the humility in that? It's not much. It's hardly noticeable. And I'm the world's worst. He who is without sin cast the first stone, but would throw it at me. And I think that's the reality of it. He never fails. It just doesn't always work out the way we want it to. So as we wrap up this little discussion that I think we could talk about for hours, I want to invite you to reflect on your own spiritual journey, no matter where it is. It could be non-existent. But if you think back hard enough on it, I really feel that you could see where everything worked out in the end. Even though it might not be the ending we want. I want to ask you, if you are a believer, how does your worship reflect your relationship with Jesus? How does your worship interact with those people who are suffering? Is it truly loving, or do you just want to prove a point, or do you want to cast the stones, or do you just say, you know what, yeah, it's not working out, and I don't understand why. I want to ask you, is your love on Jesus and your love for others based on circumstances, or is it really grounded in the faith that everything is going to be all right in the end, regardless of how I think the ending should be written? Family, let's aim a little bit to trust and worship. And I'm talking to myself here. Let's aim. Let's set the bar to worship and trust him unconditionally. Not because we expect something in return, but check this out. Because he's always worthy of it, regardless of how I think the story should end. Hey, thanks for joining me today. And may you find strength and insight into your reflections this week. And until next time, I know this was a deep topic, but until next time, keep the faith and keep moving forward. We'll see you.